And then a guy like Mike Levantovich sat up there and said, "This is your business now. Let's get him down here, Mike Levantovich!"
All right, wow. After that talk, I think I'm up here for the comic relief, you know? That's huge. You're probably going to let Philip go on until midnight just talking about that, giving more and more examples. And if you're here, I hope you know what your passion is, because my talk is, this is your business, and it's your business. And the only way that the passion is going to get into your business is through you. So the key here in understanding things is, we don't say this is your business. I mean, it is a business. But the key in getting rolling is that you have to take the ownership, you have to develop the ownership mindset. We're going to talk about some of the tools here to do that, helping you get there. As I get rolling, man, certainly a lot of appreciation goes out to Barry, Andy, and Phil for what they've put together, for staying the course, for having the passion, for having the vision, to bring NAA to where it is, to the steps they took back in June and August of 2002. For me personally, there's certainly a debt of gratitude to Alex Sabian and Art Leeser for following the vision down a path that started about 7 years ago for me. Actually, more with my wife. And I got to thank her for having the vision, because like Philip Hudgens, when I heard the word insurance, it's like, not for me. I'm too good for this. You know, I had the wrong mindset. But it took about, I think after about 3 weeks, of submitting policies, as well as bringing home checks, $300, $500 a week on a part-time basis. And I was like, wow, maybe I'm not too good at this. So, anyways, it's amazing how quick your mind can change with just a little bit of evidence. All right. You're in control of the outcome. I mean, no matter what happens in terms of the input to you and the opportunity that's around you, you still control the outcome. And I think a lot of people sometimes they make the mistake of thinking, but there's all these other environmental factors that I can point to, that I can blame, that I can choose how to react to. And so you've got to understand, man, hey, no matter where you're at, you are controlling the outcome. You are the one that's going to say, hey, I'm going to earn $100,000 this year. I'm going to earn $1 million this year. Or whether it's taking you 1 year or 5 years or 7 years. I'm on the slow program. 7 years, but it's still a program. It's still moving forward for me. I'm not upset by any stretch. It's like I set my goals. We have a plan of action. We keep making corrections. And we keep moving forward. We haven't gone back. We keep increasing our income each year. It's been good from that perspective. But let's get into some of the things I want to hit on. Are you waiting for someone to help you? Are you seeking out the knowledge to take you to the next level? That's something to ask yourself. Are you actually, plugged in, as we say, and taking advantage of everything? But not just that, are you even going a step further and saying, okay, hey, I've done what you suggested I do, if you're working with your upline manager, or leader, or coach, or whoever's helping you, have you actually followed the instructions that you agreed to follow, they suggested you follow, and come back and say, hey, man, took care of this, got this, ran this situation, what should I do next? Those words, hey, what should I do next, are very powerful when you say that to someone else. Or, hey, what should I change about me? When you ask either those two questions, that says to the person that you're asking that, hey, you're on track, provided, again, that you've done everything that was kind of suggested ahead of time. Now, if you haven't done anything, you just keep going back and ask the same question. That's not getting very far. For me, as I look back at this topic, this is your business, I start thinking, man, what were a lot of the mistakes that I've made along the way? And I think that was probably, for me, the best tool in terms of looking at what were the dumb things that I did, or the things that maybe I should have done differently if I went back, or the things that maybe I didn't correct soon enough. And for me, I think one of the biggest things guys make mistakes on coming out of the gate as a writing agent is probably the quality of business. I mean, you control the quality of business, which really controls the quality of the income coming out. So when we talk about quality of business, simple things. I think you heard some of it on stage from the producers earlier, but I want to make sure that it's crystal clear in terms of what those are. I think, first of all, learning to write the proper products, learning to understand which carrier or carriers and which products are delivering the most value to the client. Understanding simplified issue, understanding that home certain, strong foundation, big on strong foundation right now, and what it does in terms of having a strong, high-value proposition for the client and having a good chance of getting approved and getting the client what they want and moving through the system quickly. Once you understand the products, making sure that you're taking care of processing the application of the payment correctly. And that's, it sounds like so trivial to say, but how many people really get passionate about doing things properly, getting the information in there, and getting it done and treating each case of that application like it's worth $50 or $100? Showing that application the same care that you have for the client itself, because that application is definitely an extension of that. When you have situations, whether it's a conditional issue policy or a decline, that you're not hiding from it, man. When you get a conditional issue or you get a decline, there's this initial reaction to say, oh, crap. Right? I mean, come on, who can see how you're there, right? You think, oh, man, there goes my paycheck. I mean, that's what most people are thinking. Well, you got to put the shoe on the other foot and start thinking about your client, thinking, man, hey, they wanted this policy. I need to help complete this process. If it's conditionally issued, there's been some level of approval, there's an offer there. It's just up to you to take care of something. So maybe there is a premium increase. The good news is if you help the client get what they want, you'll get more of what you want. If there's been a decline, hey, help the client take the next step. Look at the other alternatives that are available. Don't just assume that the client's going to shoot you because you couldn't help them. I mean, it's such, you know, people like to assume the client's going to think the worst of you. You've got to think like an owner and say, hey, man, here's an opportunity for me to serve where other people probably wouldn't. And so for the guy that's out there that's thinking like the owner, they're going to say, hey, man, here's a marketing opportunity for me to really deliver. And from that, by serving these people, I probably have an opportunity to yield more results, yield more referrals, build my brand bigger. As we talk about quantity of business, you know, you control the quantity of your business, whether it's the way you manage your calendar, or the way you choose to spend your time. If you're taking a road trip, you know, I made all sorts of mistakes starting off. I'd go on a road trip for 2 weeks. What I found was that half the time I spent farting around, you know, pretending I was working, fooling myself. I found that after a while doing that, hey man, you can have an effective road trip, 2, 3, 4 days, and do that once or twice a month, you crank a lot of volume. And I think a part of that contributes to the system, but those are mistakes that I've seen people make, is kind of fooling themselves while they're on a road trip and extending it, stretched out, and not being very productive and effective. Another mistake I've made, man, trying to be all things to all people. As a business owner, I remember going out, getting my life insurance license, my health insurance license, my security license, and thinking, man, there's all these things I can do and stuff, right? Well, what I quickly realized is that, man, trying to be a jack of all trades and help everybody out with everything was a huge distraction. And I looked at long-term care, I was like, oh, wow, this is a neat thing. But I realized after about 2 weeks of trying to look at the products and understand them and realize I really didn't have anybody that I wanted to approach that, it's like, well, that was a waste of time. It's like, I could have sold a lot more mortgage protection, helped out a lot more families there. I got my securities license, and I started understanding after I got it all the regulation that went into it. I'm like, holy cow. And then I saw the commission for like, you know, $2 a month for a $100 a month contribution to a, you know, 401k or a Roth IRA or something. I'm like, well, this doesn't make much sense. I'm not saying it's a bad industry, but for where I was at, it's like, I made so many mistakes of diverting time into other areas when I should have just stayed focused on helping people out with mortgage protection, focusing in that niche more off the bat, and then from there, taking it and using more time to help other people launch their business and building my team. I could have been so much further along. I can tell you other stories where I got distracted back in 2000, 2001, 2002, even early 2003 that set me back, and it's probably cost me I don't know how many million dollars by making those mistakes and allowing myself to be distracted. Man, as you start to grow your own personal volume, you start to take things to the point where you're writing 40,000 a month, you've got a couple agents, man, it's time to start delegating. And I think another mistake I see people make with their business, you know, is they don't delegate enough, or they delegate the wrong tasks. You know, it's like they're delegating, instead of the simple things that someone else can be easily trained to do, they're trying to still do all that themselves. And that's time that can be better spent. You've got to learn to become a good understanding. What can you do that no one else can do? Which is talking to the clients in person, sometimes on the phone. Sometimes you can delegate appointment setting, sometimes you can't. You still got to understand that part of the business if you do delegate it, because ultimately it's your business and you are responsible for that. Other things, your business client follow. Man, another area where I waste a lot of time. Well, it was good because I was actually handwriting out postcards. I had a little ACT database, was tracking it, and you know, I sent out personal birthday postcards, and thank you, and appreciation cards. It's like, I wish ticket marketing was around 7 years ago. It's like, man, I fully take advantage of it now. Man, it's unbelievable how much it probably cost me to do my own little miniature kit marketing 7 years ago. I'm glad I did because I created more business from it. And I certainly appreciate kit marketing a lot more than had I not done those things I was doing back then. Other things to think of as it's your business. Man, I noticed a lot of people brought their spouses this weekend. Congratulations to you for having the forethought for making that investment, because I believe it is an investment. Whether your spouse is supportive or not, or on board or not, I mean, she does need to understand, or he needs to understand what's going on. Your spouse, your partner, or however you're structured, whether they're working with you or not, man, that's such a critical part, because this is a business, it's not a job. You have to be free to invest time. You have to be free to invest money. They you need to understand, and if you're a spouse here, please understand that the person that you're there, they're trying to support you. You need to support them and give them the free rein. And you need to understand the income that comes in is not all net income. There is seed capital that needs to be reinvested and replanted. So you've got to give them the free rein. You've got to make sure that you're not kind of looking up sideways every time that a lead bill comes in. You've got to make sure that if they're paying a staff person, you're okay with that. You've got to be supportive in that role. If you're a spouse and you're here tonight, and again, congratulations for doing that, just to be here to understand a better part of what's going on. On the other hand, if you're the person that's got the spouse, man, I'm hoping that you're being accountable for the funds that you are reinvesting. And I'm hoping that you're taking care of making sure that you're showing your spouse that you're good for the time and the money that you're committing. Man, some guys say, man, I could just write more business if I could just get more leads. Well, you can get more leads. You control your lead flow. Absolutely, you control your lead flow. If you're here for brand new, you control your lead flow. You can have as many as you want. If you're not getting as many right now, maybe it's because you haven't written a policy on yourself. Maybe you've not pursued any referrals. Maybe you've not run any B leads. If you haven't done those things, I wouldn't be worried about asking for more leads if you've not shown that you're worthy of more. But show that you're worthy, and that you're a worthy participant, and that you're a worthy guardian of those leads and care about those families that are out there. Hey, the world is your oyster. You know, you start showing care ratios of 100, 150%, 90%. Man, you can have as many leads as you need and as your team needs. Some people say, hey, man, I need all these leads because I'm going to hire all these people. Well, great, man. You bring on people. You get them rolling. Okay? Get them started. Have them show that they're worthy, and we'll find leads for them. The only time that we see people that we can't get leads for is when they're not doing the things that they need to be doing to bring in leads, like turning in some applications, like being a little bit geographically flexible. People that do that, man, hey, we have all sorts of opportunities for people to take and manage your business and take ownership of that situation. Last thing in closing is, you need to take ownership of being an ambassador of your business, be it with other clients, be it with the agents that you bring on board, be it with NAA personnel, Foresters personnel, Mutual personnel. You need to be an ambassador of your business and make sure that you're bringing out and delivering goodwill, so that when people see you and they see your business represented by you, not just NAA, but you and your own brand, you need to make sure that you're putting on a good face, not just a positive attitude. I mean, that's important too, but make sure that you're getting them what they need for you to be a good partner working with them. So I'm going to wrap it up here, but the key is, it's your business. You control the outcome despite what the income is. You do what you know you need to be doing. And man, the world's your oyster with NAA. Everybody take care.